Aloha. Welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship's podcast with a special message from Pastor Elwin Ahu. Be ready for exciting revelation fresh from the shores of beautiful Hawaii.
Well, Pastor Elwin and Joy have had about 2 years of a journey to adopt a child from China. And over the past 2 weeks, they've been there and they picked up their 3-year-old boy, Jared. And yes, it is such a testimony of God every step of the way.
You know, to kind of sum up the entire trip, it was full of peaks and valleys and, fun and laughter wrapped up with anger and frustration. You know, Joy just said it all when on our way home, she said, "Is that 2 gray hairs I see coming out of the side of your head?" In 2 weeks. But, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. All that we experienced, I wouldn't trade it for the world. The fact that he is alive today is a miracle. Many of you asked, and I shared the story of how this became an opportunity available to us. Many of you asked, "It's a boy that you're getting from China? Usually it's girls that you get. How did you get a boy?" Well, Jared is considered a special needs child. When he was born, he had a congenital heart condition where his aorta, the main artery, and the ventricle coming out of his heart were actually reversed at birth. And so his heart was pumping oxygen-depleted blood into his body system, which caused his body to shrivel up. He was turning purple and blue, and we spoke to the orphanage directors when they found him. At about 8 months, they don't have no idea what his birth date is, what his name, his family name. There was no association with any family at all. And when you understand the laws of China, when you abandon a child, they're subject to, if you're found and discovered, you're subject to at least 3 years in jail. And so, of course, nobody's going to leave any trace when they abandon a child like that. And so we don't know who his family is. We don't know who his mother is. But he was found about 8 months old, and he was in a condition where the orphanage director, she said he was found with another child, and of the two, they didn't think Jared was going to make it. His breathing was so soft and weak. In fact, when he cried, his strongest cry was a bit of a whisper. And so they took him to the hospital in this province. He's from a province in a northwestern part of China, real remote area. Took him to a hospital there, and they couldn't do anything. So they left him in the orphanage expecting him to die. Well, there was a Christian foster center in Beijing, which is on the eastern side of China. And they bring in doctors and nurses, and they can raise the funds to even send children to the United States for surgery, corrective surgery. And they found out about Jared, brought him over to Beijing. The orphanage director said she was afraid to put him on the flight, didn't think he was going to even last the flight. Well, he made it to Beijing, they performed the corrective surgery, and now he's fine. And you see him running around, and he has so much energy, too much for 50-year-old parents. The fact that he is alive today is a miracle. The fact that God allowed him to come into our family is a miracle. And I shared this in the message. China, with a country of 1.3 billion people, who would have thought that God would center his hand upon this child to allow him to be a part of our family? Because Joy and I would have done everything. We would have sacrificed everything because we knew that God has asked us to bring him here to America. Now, people have said, "Well, you know, Joy doesn't have children, and, you know, it's so good that you're finally, you know, satisfying her desires." And it wasn't like that at all. Believe me, we were very happy as a couple without children in our home. Thank you very much. We're very happy with that. But God placed it on her heart and mind that this child belongs in our home in America. And we would have sacrificed everything to bring him here, to give him a future and a hope. You know, he comes from a province that can be described in 2 words, poverty and pollution. The average salary of a person living in that area would be about $300 US a month. That's all they make. Pollution was so bad that the water, you couldn't drink it. In fact, there was some international news of chemical spills in the river that flowed into Russia, kind of an international conflict there. It happened in his province. The air that you breathe would burn your throat. It burned your eyes every day. Smokestacks all over just burning. You can see the smoke, black smoke going out in the air. China's economy is growing, but they have no consideration for air quality. And you thought you had it bad here with overcast skies and rain. We saw that every day, and it wasn't rain. It was smog. It was so bad. You take L.A. smog and you multiply it times three. You couldn't even see past certain buildings. Is that bad? But we knew that God wanted us to pull him out of that, to bring him here, to give him a chance of living, to give him a future and a hope, to bring him and teach him a new language, introduce him into a new culture, to build new relationships, to learn new songs, and he loves music, so that one day, our prayer, now God has his plans for him, and we'll submit to his plans, but our prayer is that one day he can go back to his country and reach them with the gospel. And to bring a miraculous story of his life being saved to those who are unsaved. Can you imagine if China became a Christian country? 1.3 billion people. Can you imagine the force that it would make in this world? I mean, if the world's population is between 6 to 7 billion, China has 1.3 billion, that means one out of every six of you is a Chinese. I'm happy to be a Pake today, I'll tell you that. But our prayer is for that, and we're just praying that God will help us equip him along the way. But this message is not about Jared. This message is about you and me. Because when I study and I looked at the adoption process of bringing Jared to a new life to give him a future and a hope, and I looked at the adoption of our Heavenly Father with us to become sons and daughters of his, I saw a mirror image of each other. Jared was born with a heart condition that if left untreated, he would have died. Weren't we born with a heart condition? That if God never stepped in and saved us, we would have died? And it's a congenital problem. In other words, it extends back through our ancestors all the way to Adam and Eve. From their sin in the garden, it created this hole in our heart. It left us in a state of poverty and a polluted lifestyle that if it wasn't for God removing us from that, we would have died in that state. But God wanted to give us a future and a hope. He wanted to bring us into a new culture, introduce us to a new language. I mean, how many of you said hallelujah before you became a Christian? Teach us new songs, build new relationships. Why? So that one day we can go back to our old friends and families and show them the miracle of our life being saved. How many of you would say, man, it's a miracle I'm sitting here today raising my hand and preaching and, you know, receiving the gospel from the Lord. It's a miracle. And God spared no expense to bring you into his family. He bankrupt heaven. He sacrificed everything he had so that you could understand how much he loved you and how much he will never leave you. To adopt you as sons and daughters. To receive all the blessings and inheritance that he has to offer. He did everything he could so that you could carry his last name. Like Jared is now an Ahu. We are Christians, Christians, we carry the name of Christ. We have the right to call him, not a thing, Abba Father. And God did everything he could so we could receive that. Here's the question for us this weekend. So why then, understanding all of that about what the Father did for us, why then do we see some who will slip away from that inheritance? Who will walk away from what the Father can offer them. Why then do we have people like the Israelites as they were exiting Egypt on their exodus and they ran into walls and they ran into problems? Why is it that they turned to Moses and the leaders and they said, hey, let's just go back to Egypt, to our old lifestyle, to where we came from? Why is that? You know, God provided us warning signs along the way. Because he wrote in Hebrews to warn us to pay attention. In fact, let's take a look at the scripture at the top of our notes. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. What have we heard? We heard the story of the great salvation of God, how we are adopted into His families. But if we don't pay close attention to warning signs along the way on this journey that we're taking, we can drift away. And notice that He doesn't say we're going to change overnight, that there will be a massive occurrence that's going to change our minds. No, we drift away from receiving what God has to offer. It's a slow process that happens over time. And if we're not careful, one day we'll wake up and we'll ask ourselves, how in the world did I ever get myself into this mess? Ever ask yourself that? But it happens in a slow process. And there are warning signs that we need to understand. Now, it's not like going to a foreign country. In China, I saw a lot of road signs. They're written in Chinese, and the province that Jared is from has a lot of Turkish influence, and so there was Arabic languages written on that, and I couldn't understand anything it was saying. They had even road signs that, like a triangular road sign with an exclamation point in the center. That's it. No words, no nothing. I mean, you're driving by. What are you supposed to do? Smile or get excited as you're driving by? I have no idea what that sign meant. But God has given us warning signs in the Bible to watch out for, lest we drift away. Well, what are those warning signs? Number one, would you write in your notes? Don't detour around relationships. Sometimes we look at a situation that we can get involved in a relationship with others here at New Hope, godly, small group kind of relationships, and we detour around that. Don't detour around it. When you find yourself doing so, it's a warning sign that you're starting to drift away from what God has for you. You know, just because you're a Christian doesn't make you immune from the enemy trying to entice you away from the inheritance that is yours. The enemy will always try to draw you away from God's blessings. And one way is to draw you away from relationships. Good example, Judas Iscariot. We read about him in Mark 14. Who was Judas? One of the 12, followed Jesus Christ, listened to his teachings, saw the miracles performed. In fact, the Bible says Jesus sent them out two by two, which meant Judas was one of the two that went out. They did teachings, they did healings, they all came back and celebrated the good things that happened in their ministry. But what happened to Judas in the end? Read with me what Mark 14 says. Ready? Go. And Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When I read that in our devotions, I wrote in my journal, how could someone who was so close to the Father fall so far away? How did that happen? You know how it happened? He broke relationships. There's nowhere in the gospel that shows that any of the apostles, any of the disciples came up to Judas and said, "What are you doing, man?" Never, no one held him accountable to what he was called to do. Wasn't he a part of the 12? In other words, didn't Jesus invite him, not force him, not coerce him? He extended an invitation for Judas to be a part of his following. And didn't Judas say, "Yes, I want to follow"? But in the end, he walked away from relationships and no one else held him to be accountable to what he was called to do, his responsibility as a Christian. Whether you're a Christian or not, the question is not if you're going to hit a wall. The question is when. A wall meaning a time where you got to choose whether you're going to continue walking with the Lord or you're going to go back to what you were doing before. We're all going to hit it. It's only a matter of when. There's a family that traveled with us to adopt a child. We had four families in our group. And this one family had received a referral, just like how we received Jared's picture and his medical reports and everything. And it was a beautiful Chinese girl. And they had prayed over this child, prayed over the opportunity that God would give them, had other Christian friends praying over the situation. They knew that God was leading them towards this child, that it was going to be a part of their family. This family also has two sons and a daughter in their family. So five of them traveled all the way to China from California. Imagine the expense of that, to receive their new sister into their household. And they were so excited. We walked into the adoption center, and we all received our children. And after a couple of days or so, they noticed that something was severely wrong with their daughter. Their daughter would not make eye contact, would only stare at her hands, refused to be touched, would go into these tantrums and just was something was wrong. So they took her to be examined and assessed by an independent doctor who was trained in the United States and specialized in international adoptions. And after she examined the little girl, her response and report back to the family was that this girl should not leave the environment that she's in now. In other words, they could not adopt the child, and they had to return the girl to the adoption orphanage. Can you imagine the heartbreak? I mean, I was there, and I still cannot fathom how deeply inflicted and wounded their heart was. And they went along with us, and we went out to dinner to celebrate the fact that we all had our children. They graciously came along. And on the way back to our hotel, as our guide was explaining to us the instructions for the next day and the picking up our visas to bring our child back home, that did it. The mother just broke down and cried. She sobbed all the way back to the hotel. We got to the entrance of the hotel, stepped off the bus, and I said to the families that were with us, I said, you know, in China, we cannot meet in a public setting like this to gather and pray together. Forget that. We're going to pray for this family. I grabbed the families. We all circled around this one family, embraced them, laid hands on them. We prayed for God's blessings upon them, for God to somehow give them order in their states of confusion, to help them to understand at least a part of what's going on here, just to give them a peace that passes all understanding. We pray just comfort upon their lives. And after the prayer was done, the father turned to me and he said, thank you. Thank you so much for being a shepherd for us here in China. You know, we had no idea who we were as families. We came from separate places of the country. One from Florida, Kentucky, California, and from Hawaii. We had no relationships before except for the fact that we were Christians and we were tied together by the Holy Spirit. But even though we came from different areas, we bound together as a family and prayed for this one family. The next day, they went to the civil affairs office to see what the options were for them. I grabbed a Christian brother, one of the other families, and I said, come into my hotel room. We're going to pray as this family is over there. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed. Later that afternoon, we ran into that family. And lo and behold, the civil affairs office had another child that was available to be adopted. And this child was like a match made in heaven for them. Because this family is from California. They're Haole. This baby looked almost Hapa. And it looked almost like their kid. And it was so cool to see that. And this family who was so attached to this picture still considered her as their child, but was easily able to now remove their emotional attachment and glue it on to this new child. And when I looked at him and I spoke with the father again later, he says, you know what pulled us through this thing? Was the relationships we had with those in the States, those other families that were praying for them, and the relationships here for you guys. You guys prayed for us and carried us through this. You see, this family hit the wall. They were at a point where they needed to decide whether they're going to continue with what God had asked them to do or go back to California. But because others who were there to pray with them, support them, encourage them along the way, they were able to complete the mission and assignment God had on their life. What about you? You're going to hit a wall. It's not a matter of if, it's when. When you hit the wall, whether as a father, mother, parent, a relationship in a workplace, when you hit the wall that's drawing you away from what God has been asking of you, who's going to be there to support you? Because if you don't have good, healthy, godly relationships that's going to surround you, you will drift away. You will drift away. That's why the writer of Hebrews warns us again to assemble together. Let's read together what Hebrews says. Hebrews 10 right there. Let's read it. Ready? Go. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's a matter of binding together as family of God to support one another. Number two, second road sign you want to watch for is yield the right of way to God's way. Yield the right of way. You want to learn something about the sovereignty of God, try adopting a child. You want to learn about patience? Try adopting a child. You want to learn that you are not in control of your life in this world? Try working for Pastor Wayne. Oh, I'm sorry. Try adopting a child. You know, sometimes submitting is the toughest, especially when you got everything worked out. You've filled out all the paperwork. You've done everything that God has asked of you. You've done everything that anybody and books has instructed of you. You're ready to go, but God still has not delivered on what you feel He has promised you. That's the toughest time to submit, isn't it? You know, this adoption process taught me all about waiting on the Lord. That last time I gave a message back in January, I said, God has opened up this opportunity for us and we're walking. And I thought we were going to be traveling to China within 2 weeks of that message. And we needed to wait for a call from China that would give us permission to go to China and pick up a child. Well, within 2 weeks of that message in January, nothing happened. People have been asking me, when are you going? I don't know yet. 2 weeks later, still no call. When are you going? I don't know yet. And I'm the kind of person that I like to set goals. I like to set deadlines. You look at my calendar, it's all marked. When we're going to do what. And I'm that kind of guy, but this thing is not happening. And I'm thinking, Lord, is there something wrong with the adoption? Because it's delaying a lot longer than I thought it would. And I've done everything I could. So is this not going to happen? You know, I kind of preached about it, so you kind of have to make it happen now, you know. And I'm waiting for that call, and it's not coming through. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I need to get myself more ready. So I read even more on international adoptions, cultural differences, language barriers, about rejection, about frustration and anger on the part of the child. And, you know, Joy called me one day. She said, I'm reading this article on a child rejecting his parent. I said, don't worry, honey. We're going to cover that with the promises of God. No, but I'm really concerned. That's okay. We're going to stand on God's promises. We're going to claim the promises of God. We can read up on these things, but don't worry. This is an anointed thing. God has showed us the promised land, and we're heading in that direction. Still, no call from China. Well, I thought, well, maybe Jared needs to get ready. So this is a time of delay for him. So I took pictures of Joy and me so he can be familiar with us. I took pictures of our apartment, took pictures of all of his Winnie the Pooh friends. I lined it up and I took a picture of that. I took a picture of Ala Moana Beach because he has no idea what a beach is. I said, honey, this is where we're going to surf, man. So I sent all of that to China to get him ready. Still no call. And I'm getting totally frustrated because I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And God is not responding. One day, Joy comes home. She comes home from work. Her office had thrown a surprise shower for her. She's carrying all these gifts. And I said, we got the gifts. We got the support. We got the prayers. We don't got the call. What is going on here? That night, I went to bed. And this is almost literally what I said to God. Sorry, forgive me. I said, Lord, I'm done. I had it. You said we were going to be going. And nothing's happened. We got no word. I'm done with it. Take it. If you don't want us to go, fine. I've had it. All the prayers and everything that we said down the chute, that's your plan, take it. I'm done. And I went to bed. Next morning, I'm brushing my teeth, getting ready to go to a Bible study. And the phone rings, 6:15 in the morning. Now, who calls at 6:15 in the morning? You know, normally it's my mom saying that our dog just died or something. You know, bad news. So Joy answers the phone. She says, yes, this is she. Well, it's about 6:15 our time. And so I ran out to look at her and I'm brushing my teeth. She said, so we're leaving when? And she started to tear in her eyes. And I was so stoked. I was so excited. I ran up and down through our apartment. I was jumping around, doing my dance. Toothpaste was coming out of my mouth. And Joy says, yeah, Elwin is here, but I don't think he can come to the phone right now. You know, I was so excited because this was our ticket. We're finally going. We got the call. The promised land is waiting. We're coming to get our son. You know, and I can't go into the miracles of what happened with plane reservations and finances and things just happening like that. After I said, Lord, I'm done. You take it, man. I'm done with this whole thing. All of these things started to fall in place. In fact, we got pictures back from China of Jared looking at the picture of me and Joy, and he's kissing Joy's picture. And he's showing us to his friends at the orphanage, at the foster center, his new mom and dad. He's a picture of him looking at his Winnie the Pooh friends, and he's all excited. You know, this is it. We're going to stand on the promises that God has given us, that we're going to pick up this child, and it's going to be fine. Boy, was I ever wrong. Nothing could have prepared us for what we were about to face. You see, Jared is three and a half. And for the past year, he's been spending time with a foster family. This is their first foster child. And he called them mom and dad. And they took good care of him. They're a Christian family in China. And they loved him. And you saw the pictures of us picking him up from the foster center. But that doesn't describe the emotion of that day. That was probably the most emotional time of my life, where we met with the parents. And she just grabbed Joy and she cried and cried and cried. And to have to explain to her that God has a plan in this. It was so hard. It was so hard. And we had to take Jared from there to an airport to fly 4 hours across the country to his home province. It tore his emotions apart. He knew who we were. He knew that we were coming to get him. But to match that with an emotional loss, almost an emotional death in the family, if you will, because he'll never see them. Maybe not for a long, long time. How does a three-year-old child deal with emotions like that? Well, I think they deal with it a lot like how we deal with it. When there's an emptiness, we try to fill it with something that's most comfortable and most familiar, don't we? Well, we were surrounded by Chinese-speaking people. And so the only ones that he would attach to were those who spoke Chinese. And so in his home province, although we had that week to bond with him, he was attracted to more of the Chinese-speaking ones. And he would just run to them. Whenever we'd go to try and get him, he'd like push us away. I mean, he was like not disciplined very well, I think. I think because that mother, the foster mom, really loved him and just didn't want to do anything, that he didn't have any discipline. So when I'd see him doing things that he needed correction on, and I'd try and correct him, he'd run away and he'd cling on to one of the Chinese people. And he'd give me a look like, wait till we get back to the hotel room. Yeah? But when we got back to the hotel room, he didn't want to come with us. He just cried. In fact, when we finally pulled him in the room, he kicked and screamed at the top of his lungs. I knew he was healthy because he screamed like bloody murder. And I'm surprised they didn't call the authorities to arrest us for something. You know, we weren't doing anything to him. He was just screaming. I'm trying to give him a bath, and he's pounding the bathtub, and he's just bloody murder. And it just was, I mean, you can only take so much, you know? And I'm thinking, Lord, what's going on here? This is the ticket. I thought you gave us a ticket to the promised land. And all I'm fighting is battles every single day. I tell you, folks, if you're not doing your devotions, do it. The devotions helped me through every single day of this trip. It was a day where we were in Joshua chapter 11. And read together with me that scripture in your notes, and then I'll share with you what I wrote that day. Ready? Go. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, to meet Israel in battle, in order that Joshua might utterly destroy them, that they might receive no mercy, but that Joshua might destroy them, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. I titled my devotion for that day, Whatever Happened to the Promised Land? Joshua fought against the Hittites and Amorites and Canaanites and all the other parasites, just as the Lord had commanded. And it's interesting to note that he had arrived in the Promised Land, but he still had to fight the battles. Although God was with him and had a hand in the wars, it was still Joshua who needed to experience the battles along the way. But this was the promised land, wasn't it? That which God had delivered into his hands. It wasn't like Joshua had stepped into a wrong picture. It was all that God had wrapped and delivered just as he said he would. But Joshua still needed to equip himself for the battle. He still needed to prepare his men and resource and encourage them into battle. He still needed to seek the Lord before heading to the front. And as he did so, only then would he be able to experience the victories that awaited him. Sometimes I think we misunderstand what the Promised Land really is about. We tend to associate its name with a geographical territory that's defined by meets and bounds, with mountains and rivers as its borders. But maybe it's that, but much more. Maybe the Promised Land is a spiritual place where we begin to realize the truth of God's promises. It's a chapter in our own life where God had outlined his promises and blessings that could only be discovered and appreciated after the battles had been won. A Promised Land isn't paradise filled with oases and comfort zones. There will be challenges and mazes to work through, frustrations to overcome, enigmas to solve, and anxious moments where only God can take you through, where only God can supply what you will need to succeed. But it's in the midst of the battles that God will show up. Joshua 11:18 says, Joshua waged war a long time with all these kings. There was not a city which made peace with the sons of Israel. You see, our Promised Land and the road that runs through it will not be easy. It'll not be a bullet train that'll take us through. But it'll be riding on the wings of faith that what he has promised will be manifested in the battles to be won. And when it is all said and done, our faith would have grown, our God will seem bigger than ever, and our victories will taste even sweeter. Thank you, Father, for the trials and tests that test our endurance. We can either allow it to defeat us or allow endurance to have its perfect result, victory in your name, that we may be perfect and lacking nothing. You promised us Jared as our son, and you delivered him into our custody. But there are still battles awaiting us ahead. And today's word has once more reassured me that you are still God, that will never leave us, nor will you forsake us. And I needed to be reminded, just as Joshua reminded his men, do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies with whom you fight. Promised Land doesn't mean you enter in without battles. But it's only through the battles that you realize how big your God is. What is your Promised Land this morning? What is that experience that you're going through that's challenging you so much so that you're wondering whether God is really there for you, whether you're really heading in the right direction? What is that situation you're facing? Here's a word for you this morning. Yield the right of way to God's way. How will you know God's way? Through your devotions. He will show you where you'll be going. He will show you what you need to do every single day in the battle. And through accountability with friends, as we talked about before. People who will hold you accountable to what you need to do. Because once you begin to realize that and understand what God's ways are, not yours, only then will you understand, number three, that with the Father's love, there are no U-turns. When God extends his love towards us, he never takes it back. When he extends himself to you to adopt you into his family, he will never then abandon you. No matter how much we feel that he is rejecting us, God is not walking away from us. It's funny, though, that we take our eyes off the Father and we turn to other things of the world. We seem to easily slide away from the Father when we fail to value the day of our salvation. When we fail to realize how big that day really was. See, we make a lot of choices in life, and I don't want to invalidate or devalue the day that you said yes to Jesus Christ. But sometimes I think in America, we have so many choices that we make choices by choosing things and not realizing the effect and the impact of the choice that we make, especially with our salvation. And when we don't value the salvation as we need to, when we hit the tough times, we fall away. And we become attracted to other things that attract our attention that we feel comfortable to. We forget how much our God has extended his love to us. We forget how much of a risk. Sometimes we may not understand the risk involved when we say yes to Jesus Christ. You know, this province that Jared is from, kind of a weird international mix. We're in China. So those who live there are Chinese. They're Chinese nationals. But they don't look Chinese. I want to show you a picture of our guide and a driver. These are Chinese guys. But they live in an area that's been so heavily influenced from Turkey, from Pakistan, from Russia, that people all look like this. The women, beautiful women, they look all Hapa. A mixture of maybe Chinese and Russian or whatever. But this is the kind of a typical setting that we go to. We go to a dinner, and you don't see your normal, typical Chinese food on the table. You don't see like your sweet sour pork and your honey glazed walnut shrimp, black bean chicken. You don't see that at all. You know what they eat there? Lamb. Everything is lamb. Lamb skewers, lamb stew. They brought out a plate of noodles, and it's not like your Chinese chow mein noodles. It looks like a spaghetti, but yet it's thicker, almost like an udon kind of noodle, but it's chewy. And so they bring out lamb stew and this bowl of these white noodles, and you pour it on the noodles, and you mix it together. And so here we are sitting on this table. They don't eat rice. They eat naan bread. It's this bread that you bake inside of the side of a stone oven. And they eat naan bread and lamb, no rice. And so here we are sitting on this table with lamb, naan bread, sitting next to these Turkish-looking guys holding chopsticks, speaking Mandarin. I mean, is that weird or what? But because it's so heavily influenced from the Middle East, they're all Muslims. So here we have this guide. And another person that came along with us was a director of the adoption area agency. And he's a strong Christian. He's a Chinese national, strong Christian, very bold. And he said to me, you know, our guide, and let's just say his name is Akeem. Our guide, he said, I've been trying to witness to this guy for a while. I know he's been reading the Bible. See what you can do. And so Akeem is taking us on this tour of his land. And I'm sitting in the back of his van with him. And so I said, Akeem, so you've been reading the Bible? He says, yeah. I said, so what's taking you so long to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? What's standing in the way? And he speaks English, but real simple English. He said, well, I read the Bible. I read the Quran. I said, okay. He said, I don't know the difference. I don't see the difference. I said, well, Akeem, the Quran, written by Muhammad, yeah? He says, yeah. I said, the Bible, written and God-inspired, but written about a guy named Jesus Christ. He said, yeah. I said, Muhammad lived and died. He said, yeah. I said, Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again. He said, yeah. I said, Muhammad, still dead, yeah? Oh, yeah. So I did the bridge illustration where God and man are separated. Only Jesus Christ can join us together. He says, oh, let me consider that. So we go on our tour. He takes us to a mosque. This is a beautiful historical mosque, and we'll pull up a picture of this. But they still use this mosque. It was constructed over 2,000 years ago, and it's made of mud and straw. I mean, when you look at it, you can see, you know, like how in Moses' days, you can see the straw and the mud, and I'm rubbing off the mud, hoping this thing will fall apart or something, but it's a beautiful mosque, and in the summertime is filled with grapes and vineyards and fruits and flowers. But they still use this to worship. 5 times a day, they go to pray there. Well, it was during one of the breaks that my Christian friend and I, we went up to the center tower, and we looked over the mosque, and we prayed deliverance. We just prayed that somehow all the Muslims would get saved, and we just prayed and laid hands on this whole thing. We came downstairs and we met Akeem on the steps of this mosque. So I looked at Akeem and I said, so Akeem, I see some tombs over there. When you die, is that where you're going to go? He goes, yeah, that's where we go. I said, you want to live forever? He says, forever? I said, yeah, like eternity. He says, what is eternity? So I pulled out a page out of Pastor Wayne's story and I said, see the horizon on that side? Let's say that's the beginning of time. And let's say across that horizon is eternity. And we stretch a line that connects the two. And I draw a little scratch on this line. And I said, Akeem, that's where we live, right there on this little scratch. Now, how are you going to spend the rest of eternity after you die? Depends on what choice you make on this little scratch. Are you going to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's the only way. But I cannot force you. You got to make that choice. What do you say, Akeem? What's holding you back? Now, side note, he's a Muslim. For a Muslim to convert to Christianity, you've been reading the news about Afghanistan and this Muslim that converted, their court legally sentenced that person to death. Under Muslim law, if you reject Islam, you are legally sentenced to death. Akeem could die by converting to Christianity. So I said, Akeem, what do you think? He looked at my Chinese brother, he grabbed him by the head, and he says, oh, what do I need to do? So my Chinese friend said, Pastor Elwin's going to say a prayer. You just repeat the prayer. I said, Akeem, is this what you want to do? He says, yes. I said, you're sure? I'm not forcing you. He says, no. It's what I want to do. Eternity. I said, all right. So I said the sinner's prayer. He repeated it after me. He got saved. And I said, Akeem, I grabbed him by the shoulders. I said, Akeem, I came here from Hawaii as a stranger to you. I now leave as your brother. And look around. We're standing on the steps of your mosque. I mean, how great is that, yeah? And he looked around and he says, yeah, yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day. And I said, Akeem, don't forget this day. Don't forget this day. Because right now, up in heaven, God has stopped everything to hear your prayer. And he is rejoicing in heaven because of what you just did. It is a great day for you. Akeem took a huge risk. But he made a choice that made a difference in his life. I said, Akeem, I will leave China, but one day I'll see you again. And he said, yeah, in eternity. I said, yeah. He got it. He got it. And I wonder how many of us understand how great a salvation we have. The day that you said yes to Jesus Christ, the day that you got saved, God stopped heaven just like he did for Akeem. And there was a great celebration going on upstairs because he knew that once you said yes to him, it would have sealed his unconditional love for you. And God says, don't forget that day. Don't forget how great a salvation it is. In fact, let's read Hebrews 3. It's another warning. Ready? Go. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, firm until the end. Underline that last phrase. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance. See, when you hold the value of the day you got saved in high regards, that it is huge in the Father's eyes and it should be in ours, when you hold it that high and you hit some roadblocks along the way, you don't want to go back to where you came from. You want to stay within the blessings and the inheritance and the umbrella of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You want to stay there. There's no reason why you want to go back. Because he provides us an unconditional love that nobody can. Nobody can. And I got a great taste of what unconditional love is about. Because those days were tough for us with Jared just fighting and screaming. There was a night where it was so bad that I had enough, and I couldn't take it. And I said to Joy, you wanted him? Take him. You have him. Take him. And I laid down on the bed, and I tried to go to sleep. And he was stomping and kicking. And you know what Joy did? She reached down, and she picked him up. And this three-year-old packs a punch. He was punching her. He was slapping her, kicking her. And you know what she did all along? Gently stroked his back. And she said, that's okay. No, I want mommy. I'm your mommy. No, I want mommy. I'm your mommy. I'll always be your mommy. And he kicked and punched. He said, I understand, honey. It's okay. It's okay. And she kept holding him, kept stroking him, kept embracing him until he fell asleep. And here I am laying on bed feeling so convicted. I'm the Christian pastor, you know. But what she taught me that night was the unconditional love that a parent has for a child. And you have been adopted into God's family. He shares with you that same unconditional love. No matter how much we kick and scream at him. Isn't it true that the first word that we said to God when we became a Christian was no? Go to church? No. You need to pray more? No. Do your devotions? No. Everything we tell God is no. But God still says, that's okay. I understand. One day you'll understand how much I really, really love you. I am not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I will never abandon you. And God says, that's okay. That's why in Romans it says there that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. There is nothing that you could ever do that will separate you from the love of Christ. There is nothing that you could ever do that will separate you from an unconditional love that our Heavenly Father has extended to you. And when you understand the depth of that love, and when you accept that depth of love, you will never drift away. Amen. I want to introduce you to Jared. Hey, Jared. You here? Hey, Jared. Can I say hi? How do you say hi? Ni hao? Ni hao? No? Okay. Yeah, in time. In time. In time. Yeah. Okay, we'll see you later. Bye-bye. Say bye-bye. Yeah, reject me. That's all right. I'm fine. Yeah, I'll still love him. But that's the message. It's really not about him. It's about you and me and the love of the Father that he has for us. Hold on to that, would you? Let's all stand together. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for being our Father, for loving us through the tough times and holding our hand and embracing us. Father, forgive us for those times where we kicked and screamed at you, times where we tended to slip and drift away. Father, help us to find those healthy relationships within this body so we can hold ourselves to what you've asked us to be. Help us, Father, to submit our ways to yours and to always understand how great that day of salvation was. Lord, we love you for the way that you love us. Father, even times where we walked away, you still stayed by our side. Thank you for being an awesome God. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask no one to look around. This is a very private and a precious moment. For some of you who have not yet made a decision to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, maybe you've been walking around on your own for a while, but you understand today that God is just waiting to accept you into his family, but you need to make that choice. And it's not hard. Just like with Akeem, the message is very simple. That all the Lord wants to do is establish a relationship with you. But you got to choose to accept him. If that's you this morning, and you understand that once you accept him as your Lord and Savior, it seals his unconditional love for you, and you're a part of his family. If that's what you want to do this morning, all you need to do is say yes. Just raise a hand right now, and by doing so, you're saying, yes, that's me. Yeah, right here in the middle. Good. God bless you. Good. On the side. God bless you. Great. Right there on the side. Back in the back. Good. Right in the middle again. right there on the side. Heaven is rejoicing for you this morning. God has stopped everything. And he says, look at the hearts of these who are raising their hands, who want to be a part of my family. It is a great day of salvation for you. Don't ever forget this day. You can put your hands down. To help celebrate with you, we have a yes packet outside, and it's a free gift. We want to give it to you on our behalf to celebrate and help memorialize this precious moment. Go out and get one. Just tell anybody who's holding this yes packet that you just said yes to Jesus Christ, and they will celebrate with you. How many of you this morning would say that you're a Christian, you've been walking with the Lord, but you've been kind of tending to drift away? Maybe it's not a change in lifestyle, but little things along the way, you've been seeing just the old life coming back. But you need to be reminded to keep yourselves centered on the Lord. And if that's you this morning, you just need a little word of encouragement from God. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? Yeah, a lot of us are going through that. Good, good. Put your hands down. I'm going to say a prayer. Say the words and you repeat it, but give it all your heart, would you? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins. Forgive me of my sins. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Help me to walk in your ways, to submit to your ways, and to treasure my salvation. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around me can hear, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer this morning. Lord, we love you. We rejoice in your name this morning. Help us to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's welcome those who said yes for the first time.
Thanks for listening. If you were touched by this message, there are more great resources available on our website at enewhope.org. From our New Hope family to you, aloha.